Next week, I'm going to say Happy New Year to you. But today, it's the last Sabbath of the year of 2007. It's hard to believe, isn't it? The last Sabbath. And I thought about how am I going to start this message today in order to get your attention, in order to have God speak to your heart. And I thought I'd help you bring back memories. Some of you are going to have to think back a few years. Others, maybe school just this few weeks ago, you were in a race. How do you start a race? Well, you get down on your knees like this, and you got a block, and you know, and then you hear that noise. Get ready, get set, and go, right? Boy, I remember that. That's the theme of what we want to look at today as we study the Word of God. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12? The church, the great race of life. The great race of life. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And as you're turning there, I want for us to get the setting of this. Here it is, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12. By the way, New Year's Eve is on Monday evening, and so the setting is on a cold, rainy evening. We're talking about Oregon, so the chances are it will be that way. And it's Monday evening, and there's thousands of people flocking into a huge arena, and it's a covered dome arena. Isn't that nice? And we watch the starting of the track events for the year of 2008. Now, this arena holds some 60,000 people. Wow, that's a lot of people. And these people are coming from almost every direction you can imagine, and you will see in a minute. And I stand on the edges and I watch and I look and I see the people as they crowd in to this arena, down the aisles, up into the bleachers. They stand and they sit. And then I notice there's something about these people. There's something about these people out there in the bleachers. They're different. Now, I will admit that we do live in a time of a revolution of different dress and all like that, and people doing their own thing, but I see an old man with long hair and a beard and a robe and a staff in his hand, and I turn to the man next to me, and I say, well, who's this man? Is he some hippie from the 60s? Oh, and the man says, no, that's Abraham. Abraham? Abraham who? And he says, well, you know, Abraham the patriarch. And I said, well, where in the world did he come from? What's he doing here? And then he explained, you see, this is a different type of track meet. The people that are gathered here, this New Year's Eve, Monday, 2007, the last night before 2008, are the great athletes of the ages. And they've come together, they've come to watch the 21st century runners enter onto the starting line for the year of 2008, the race that is set before them. And that's why Abraham is here tonight. And I say, well, I didn't know that Abraham was an athlete. Oh, yes, he says. You got to be a great athlete, a spiritual athlete, to have left your own country and travel into a wild place like Canaan, and to believe that God's going to give you a son when you're 100 years old, and to keep your faith in God even when God says, I want you to take that son of yours and sacrifice that son, your only son. You got to be a great spiritual athlete for that. Yes, Abraham is well qualified to be here tonight. And then I notice a lady, my interesting-looking lady. She's pressing down the aisles, ready to sit down, and she's got a red cord around her waist. And again, I turn to the man next to me, sitting next to me. Who is she? Oh, that's Rahab, who was saved from Jericho. Oh, I say, is that right? I didn't know that Rahab was an athlete, was she? Oh, yes, she started way back from scratch, and she lived a very immoral life as a woman, but she heard about God and gave her heart to him. And then she began to cover ground very quickly. Rahab became one of the great spiritual athletes, and she is qualified to be here today. And I stand at the edge of the crowd there, and I stare in amazement at these distinguished spectators. I see Abel, and I see Enoch and Joseph, and I even see Joseph. Yeah, he's interesting. Egyptian dress that he's wearing. And there's Moses. Moses, of all people. It's a tremendous sight to see all the spiritual athletes from all the ages. It's the only way I can describe it is, well, it's like a great cloud of witnesses. And then there's a hush as you and I, the 2008 athletes for the 21st century, come down to the starting lines, waiting for the words, get ready, get set, go. And people are waiting. There's a bit of quietness. And suddenly out there in the crowd, out among all those people, comes this voice. It's interesting. You hear it? It's from a little man. He kind of a strong-looking face. He's wearing spectacles, glasses, and this man next to me, he says, that's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul calls out to those spiritual athletes down there on the starting line. And it's right here, recorded for us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. Are you ready? What the Apostle Paul had to say. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. I want to paraphrase, in a sense, what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's looking at you and me, and we're down there on the starting lines. And he's looking at us, and he says, you athletes, don't you know you can't run with that stuff? Take it off. Set it aside. You'll die in the heat. Don't you know you're surrounded by such a mighty cloud of witnesses? And if you're ever going to follow in our steps, you've got to lay aside every weight that besets you. The Apostle Paul, here in these verses of Hebrews chapter 1 through 3, is describing a track meet that takes place in the first century A.D. And the spiritual athletes of all the ages are in the grandstands like a great cloud of witnesses. And you and I, as the 21st century runners, are in the arena. We're standing on the starting line, getting ready to run the race of 2008. Ready or not, the race is on. And the Apostle Paul says, lay aside those weights that so easily beset you. Now, when you're in a track and field event, you'll take off all that heavy clothing, all that sweat shirts and all these things like this, sweat clothes, and you will wear lightweight clothing. You'll wear light shoes, at least the best shoes that you can get, something that's very similar to what Anita was wearing today, a good pair of shoes, tennis shoes. And you'll notice as you look here at Hebrews chapter 12, and you'll notice in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, notice the word, it says there, lay aside the weight. In the original language, that word weight means burden. Would you circle the word weight for me? Those of you that mark your Bible, circle that, will you? And put a line and right over your margin. If you've got any margin, write the word burden, because that's what he's talking about. That weight is a burden. And in the context, it may refer to things, however good in themselves, things which are good, but may keep us from that which is best. And that reminds me of a parable that Jesus gave. I love the parables of Jesus. The one of Jesus that he told about the Great Supper. Oh, a king, he set out his invitation to people to come and to eat with him, to come to the great banquet, the heavenly banquet. And so he sent out the servants to make the final invitation. And the servants go out, and he meets all kinds of people, they do, and there's all kinds of excuses. Have you ever said something like this or heard something like this? One man said, well, I bought a field and I can't come. Another man said, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I can't come. And this next one is very interesting. He says, I married a wife and how do you expect me to come? Now think about it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing necessarily wrong with buying fields and lands and houses and cars and oxen and all the rest of it. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with getting married. But the parable here, listen carefully, the parable is talking about the things which are good in themselves. Are you with me? Good in themselves. All those things are all right. They're good in themselves. But they kept them from being invited going to the marriage banquet. And my Christian friends, young and old here today, you and I know from experience, we've been there, we've done that. We know 1,001 things that have kept us and can keep us from a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, don't we? We can be so involved with something in life that is good that we can lose sight of that which is best. Maybe there are some here today, and you know, as you look at your calendar, as your friends have talked to you, as you hear on the TV and the radio, that are almost finished with 2007 and 2008 is just around the corner. And you know, as a Christian, you know that your relationship with the Lord is not what it should be. There are some weights there. There are some burdens there. Are you ready to be honest with God? Honest with your feelings of what really you are. You know what it is. You know what they are. You have a conscience. God is speaking to your heart as he's speaking to my heart. As I've prepared this message, as I share this message today. And in effect, God says, don't bog yourself down in the race of life. That weight that you're carrying, that you haven't given over to God, it could easily prevent you and me from reaching the finish line. Lay it aside. Lay it aside before it's too late. And the Apostle Paul, he goes on, as we look at this passage, and he said, let us run. What does it say there in verse 1? Let us run with what? With patience. Now, other translations have the word that's closest to the Greek language. Let us run with endurance. That's the word. That's the word. Endurance. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. In the long run, in this Christian race of life, ultimately we find and discover who's in for the end, who's in to stick in there to the very end, or those that are just kind of coming along to tag along. Because you see, when the rains come, when the storms come, they say something like this, count me out, count me out. And you know, it's not very long. It doesn't take very long to discover who is really serious about running, who's really serious about their exercise program as they look to 2008. I can just imagine some of them, you know, I want to get an exercise program. I want to lose a little bit of weight and feel better about myself and do something about my stress in my life. I'm going to do that, but it's raining today. I'm not going to run and do my exercises today. And we keep putting it off. By the way, we do live in Oregon and it rains here. And come rain or shine, I'm going to run. I'm going to walk. I'm going to exercise. Or we say, count me out. Count me out. All kinds of excuses for not staying in the race of life. And you know, this reminds me of a gentleman who's about my age. I knew him as a friend at Pacific Union College. He's a relative of Marvin and Marilyn King's, Darren George. And I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I had to be at work at the bakery at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I could hear, as I was getting ready, I could hear Darren George running. And it didn't matter if it was snowing or raining. I could hear those footprints running by. So faithful to the end. So faithful. He came that close to being in the World Olympics. He didn't give up. Have you ever been in a cross-country race? Ever been in one of those? I have. And some of the fellas would get an easy lead. And I would think at times, well, my, they're going to win the race. And yet it didn't take long for me to realize that that is not always a guarantee for victory. Those of you that have run, and you know about that. Building up a large lead might cause, well, you take a wrong turn. Or maybe as you get ahead of everybody, you lose all your endurance. And so the key to success in athletics, as well as in the race of life as Christian believers, is not alone how you start, but how you finish. That last lap, that last quarter is so critical. It is so critical. And Christian friends, think about it, friends. Think about it. If you listen to the radio, if you listen to television, if you listen to and watch everyday life, friends, we're coming near the end of the lap. We're coming to the end. It's a crucial time to live in. This is no time to allow these weights to beset us. This is the time to get serious with God and to stick in there. And so run. Do not run ahead of the Lord. No, but with patience and with endurance, run that race that is set before you. There is a payday that comes soon. The prize for waiting is waiting for us if we're willing to stick in there to the end. It's going to involve some self-discipline. It's going to involve some self-denial. And the discipline and the self-denial of an athlete is a good example, a good model for us in a spiritual sense, too. As we wait and we long for and run the race that's set before us, longing for the day when Jesus will come again. So we can hear those words. You remember the words? He says, "Lo, for us, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those are the people who will hear those words. Those are the people who have chosen daily to stay in the race of life, to fight the good fight of faith, a faith that works by love, a faith that works by love. Maybe there's some here today. I do not want you to raise your hand, but you're getting tired. You're getting tired in the race of life. And as you look back at 2007, you wish you didn't have to, but sometimes it's good to evaluate and you realize, why, I made a lot of wrong turns. And I stubbed my spiritual toe more than once. And I hate to even talk about it, but it happened. And you're running out of go power. Is that you? You're coming to the place where you're almost ready to call it quits. My friend, God's message to you today, through me, through so many different ways, don't give up. Don't give up. Stick in there. And remember, as Annetta was explaining there before we sang one of the songs, sometimes we run with excitement, we run with enthusiasm. Other times we have to drag ourselves. And we're going to be so tired, but we still are in the race. We're still in the race. I remember back at school, Golden Gate Academy, Oakland, California. Maybe you have an idea where that school is. I used to run 2 miles. And my, it would ache in my stomach, you know, the side ache. You can relate to this. And those ankles going up that hill, oh my, it was so painful. And yet I chose, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on running. Why did I keep on running? Because I knew I was almost to the finish line. I had a goal. I was so much closer. I was closer. I was not going to give up. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that there is a goal through these encouraging words. Look at them again. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The person who runs has in their mind a goal. Now, for a lot of athletes, that goal is maybe a gold medal, or maybe it's to be on the sports page, or they think of that love cup, that loving cup they're going to put in their trophy case. And so as they run, as they perform in that feat, you and I who stand in the bleachers and we watch them, we have no idea what they're thinking, but they have a goal in mind. It may be the pros, it may be more money, whatever it may be. But spiritually speaking, friends, for us in the race of life, the Christian race of life, it's Jesus keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our goal. That's our aim. And I think as I consider my life, as I consider your lives, as I look at everybody's, and we have these resolutions, we have these aims, these goals, these purposes, and we look at 2008, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do better, I want to do this, and at the end of 2008, we don't make it to the finish line. We give up. We call it quits. Why? Oh, pray that you will not give up in the real race of life. And it reminds me of a story of three boys playing after a snowstorm. And in the light of our times, this is a very appropriate story. And the snow was really thick. It was really, here I'm here, and it was just covered. And they were playing in the snow, throwing snowballs and making a snowman. And a friend came along, a neighbor friend. And young people, you'll like this story. And the neighbor man yelled out to the guys, hey, guys, you want to race? Yeah, we'd like to race. I'll give a prize to the winner. And they listened. Well, what's involved? What are the instructions? Okay, listen carefully. The winner is not going to be the one who goes the fastest. Oh, no. The winner is the one who makes the straightest line. Oh, no problem. I can do that. Three boys. They're going to run the race. And he gets on the other side of the field, nice open blank field of snow, the other end, and they hear the sound. Get ready, get set, go! And these three boys, wow, what a lesson. One boy, he starts taking off, and he's looking down. He wants to make sure he gets every foot straight as he possibly can. The second boy, he is looking at the others. He wants to see if what they do, maybe he can learn something from them. And he looks there. But that third boy, he keeps his eyes straight on that man, that goal on the other side, who wins the prize. That third boy. And what a lesson these three boys teach me and you. The boy who looked down, the boy who looks straight down, he represents, oh my, we can relate to all three of these boys in our everyday life, can't we? He represents those who are self-conscious, those who are excessive worriers, concentration on their mistakes, concentration on their weaknesses. And sometimes they dwell so much on the problem, they can become a problem. Oh, but the second boy, he doesn't look down. He looks at what others are doing. Oh, they did it, I'll do it too. They're going, I'll go too. They're wearing it, I'll wear it too. But that third boy, that third boy represents those who keep their focus of their trust on Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. It represents those who make the gospel the all-consuming focus of their lives, the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the focus of their lives, and Jesus' picture of God, the focus of their lives. So the Bible says, starting with verse 2 of Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has set down the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Jesus Christ is the very essence of the gospel. Jesus Christ, in this passage, we are told that he is the author and also what? The finisher of our faith. He's the author and he's the finisher. First of all, he's the author. He makes the good starter. Now, Anita, she shared the story today. She had that gun. You know, in athletics, they get down and they crouch down and they wait for the gun to shoot. Boom! And then they're off. And in the Christian life, we need a good starter. And our starter is Jesus Christ. He is the author. He is the starter of our faith. And friends, he has given us right standing with God. He has given to us a correct picture of what our God is like. And when we said yes to Christ in who he is, what he has done for us, and said, yes, I want you, I need you to be my Savior. Yes, your picture of the Father is correct, and Satan is wrong. We have considered the evidence of the good news of the gospel. And so Jesus Christ is the author. Jesus Christ is the starter. And we have looked to Christ, and we have begun the race of life. But I want you to notice that Jesus Christ is not only the starter, but he's also the what? The finisher. He's the finisher. You see, when we first gave our lives to Christ, when we said, yes, I accept Christ as my Savior. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Yes, Jesus, you presented the right picture of what God the Father is like. Immediately upon our acceptance of Christ, the Holy Spirit came into our lives. And that same Holy Spirit, as we keep our focus and our attention on Christ, that same Holy Spirit takes more and more control of us, of our lives, that we love the Word of God, that we become more and more like him, that we want to be obedient and live holy for Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit ever reminds us that no matter how effective we may be in our race of life, or maybe ineffective some days in our race of life, remember this. Remember this. Jesus Christ has already, underline that, Jesus Christ has already won the great race of life, in his death, in his resurrection. He has already won it. That's the good news of the gospel. And when he won, when he lived that perfect life, when he died that perfect death, when he rose again, it's the same as if we had lived that perfect life and we had died that death and we rose again. And so the Bible says right here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's how Jesus Christ won the great race of life for you and for me. He has already won it for us. He didn't care about some gold medallion here on this earth. No. But he cared about the fact that he wanted to represent us and to sit down at the right hand of God the Father for us. And that's the best place for a winner. That's the best place for those who are in Jesus Christ. And friends, we can be thankful as sinners in Jesus Christ, saved in Christ, that we have a winner standing for us and representing us in heaven above. Amen? We do indeed. He won the greatest race for our salvation history. He won the prize for us. And thus, we can now accept what he has already accomplished. We can have now right standing with God. We can accept his picture of what he gave to us in his life and his death and his resurrection, of what God the Father is like, and he will set us straight, set us right. Now, I can imagine that some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor Ken. If Jesus Christ has already won the great race of life for us, what need do we have to run the race ourselves? Now, that's a good question. I'm glad you're thinking about that. Well, I'm going to repeat again. Remember this. What Christ did for us in his life and his death and his resurrection is he won the great race of life for us. That's the gospel. And that assures us, friends, that assures us. Ellen White calls it, that's our title to heaven. That's our title to heaven. That's our title to eternal life. The Bible calls it justification by faith, right standing with God. If we have accepted what he has done, it's a historical fact. It's something that happened in the past. It's something he did, we didn't do. If we accept what he did for us, if we accept his picture of what he gave to us, of the Father, then we have justification by faith. We have a right standing with God. But, listen carefully, that does not cancel out our need to run the race of life. Rather, friends, it makes a mission that once was impossible, now possible. Now possible. And so now we run the race that is set before us. We run not in order to be saved. No, no, we're already saved in Christ. He already won the race, and we accept that fact. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that. And as you know, we're going through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans every once in a while. And I think of the words that the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the third chapter, in verse 31. Let me read it to you. Do we then nullify the law? Do we then do away with obedience by this faith that we put in Jesus Christ? And he says here in the Word of God, God forbid! God forbid! Rather, we uphold the law. Now, as I look at that passage, I'm tempted to give a Williams paraphrase. And I do that at times. Here's a Williams paraphrase of that. It goes like this. A Williams paraphrase of Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Since our faith in Christ's works of obedience to the law of God saves us, does that mean Christian obedience is unnecessary? That's what it's saying. Oh, no, not at all. Rather, now that we have faith in Christ's righteousness, victory over sin, obedience to his law is possible. Amen? That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. And I like the way one Christian writer said it. In the context of what our Lord Jesus Christ has already done for us, this Christian writer writes this in Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 144. Listen to this. We can overcome. Yes, fully, entirely. Jesus died to make a way of escape. That's the key. Jesus died. It's what he did. He made a way of escape that we might overcome every evil temper, every sin, every temptation, and sit down at last with him. I like that, don't you? That gives me hope. You know, this should give us confidence. Confidence that the great race of life has already been won in Jesus Christ. Confidence that as we daily are trusting in his victory, in what he has done for us, keeping our eyes fixed on him, a relationship with him, getting to know him, filling our minds, remembering what he has done for us, that motivates us to set aside the weights that beset us, because we do not want anything that's between us and him. And that's good news. It's good news for struggling sinners like you and me to know that we can be winners in Jesus Christ. And such assurance in Christ should cause us to Christians to do this. It should cause us not to be sloppy, not to be lazy as we seek to live holy lives. Oh, no. Rather, it should cause us to run like spiritual athletes. Amen? who, no matter how many wiles of the devil he will throw to us, and friends, he will. And the old nature that is still there within us, if we keep feeding it a sandwich every once in a while, it'll stumble us. It will get discouraged. And you know what I'm talking about. But if we will discipline ourselves to choose each and every day to say, I'm going to look to Christ. I'm going to continue to focus on a relationship with Jesus Christ, who has already won the race for me. And make that the attention, and make that the focus. Though the winds come, though the rains come, though the storms come, He will see us through. He will see us through to the finish line. He will see us through. The Bible is right. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith in someone else's righteousness, not theirs, but His. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Or consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Keep looking to Jesus. That's his message for you and me as we look to 2008. Stick in there. Don't give up. We need him. We need each other. Would you sing with me that beautiful hymn? Hymn number 517, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Hymn number 517.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting with us today through your word. We thank you for the reality that we are in this race of life. And we're grateful, Lord, that we're not alone, that you are with us, you are for us. Even when we are weak, you can enable us to be strong. Help us, Lord. Help us to set aside the weights that beset us. Help us to be honest with you. And Lord, help us to realize that you have already won. Help us to bask in that. Help us to dwell on that and to know that you will see us through as we keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In his name, Jesus. Amen.